back on the Friends of Kevin Radio Show. I'm now joined by my friend Julie McNeil. Julie, why don't we start by talking about the area of law that you practice in?
I'm a Massachusetts attorney. I practice, basically I represent property and business owners in four areas. I do land and title disputes, environmental and zoning appeals, insurance coverage, and contracts. I've had, over my 10 years of practice, I've had a lot of boundary disputes. And now you and I were neighbors for 5 years, and you know, we were very blessed to have each other as neighbors, but some people aren't so lucky, and sometimes there are problems that arise.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for that. I remember a while ago, back I think when you lived there, we put up a fence in the backyard. And, you know, the guy behind me came like running out when we were putting up the fence, going, "What are you doing?" So I'm putting up a fence. And, you know, and I had actually pulled the fence back about 2 feet. I knew where the line was, mm-hmm. but just so it wasn't, you know, I missed by 3 inches or anything. And he's like, "But, you know, your landline comes up a little bit further." I'm like, "It's okay. I'm just giving you a little bit extra room." Just because I was concerned about that. But you
right.
can see how something simple, putting up a shed, when I put up the shed, same thing. Where are you going to put that shed? Make sure it's not too close to that boundary line so you're not getting the, "Hey, that's a really beautiful deck, but nah, you didn't follow the rules to take it back down."
Well, exactly. And that's usually how these things arise. The average homeowner buys their house. They don't realize that they're presented with a plot plan usually sometime during the closing process, and they take it as gospel. But those things are basically for title insurance purposes. I'm not saying that they're unreliable, but they're not necessarily reliable for all purposes. Usually when somebody buys a house, if there's a fence, a grove of trees, a stone wall, what have you, they assume that that's where their property line
yep.
is, and that's not always the case. The average homeowner doesn't go out and have a survey performed. Even me as a
True.
Land use attorney
yep.
didn't do that when I bought my house. So
you
know,
figured you could represent yourself if you had
yeah,
in
exactly.
trouble?
Exactly. If there's any ever trouble, I know who to call. Mm-hmm. But yeah, basically these things become apparent when one of the owners wants to build. Say they want, like you said, you want to build a fence or a shed, want to fix the septic system, do something like that. Then that's when they have the survey performed and see what's what on the ground.
But I had that minor issue with that, Julie, when I actually went to refinance. The shed I put up, they felt wasn't in an appropriate spot. And it was holding up my refinance to the point I was saying, "Well, you know, I'm just going to bring my nephews over. We'll pick it up and we're going
right.
to pull it back a couple feet." But I'm like, okay, it was there when I financed the house. It's still there when I refinanced the house. But I'm like, so what's the issue? You know, same bank, but things
right.
come up.
A lot of mortgage companies, they have to be very careful. They're lending you a large sum of money. They want to make sure that you're not in violation of anything that might do anything to the land that they're encumbering. So they need to protect their asset, which is your house, until you pay off that mortgage.
So what typically brings about these issues then?
Like I said, when one wants to build an addition, something like that, a lot of times these come to light when there's a sale of the property. One becomes very motivated to solve the problem. A lot of times people want to keep things status quo until they want to go sell. They don't want to sell that property with this problem in place because people don't want to be buying themselves a lawsuit. So and it's incumbent upon the owner to tell any potential buyers about these situations for the most part. You know, you can't keep things like this and have them find out later with a nasty surprise.
Right.
So usually when somebody wants to sell or something of that nature and a survey is performed is what happens.
So this can also happen. I know it's happened to me. Well, I'll get a letter in the mail from the town saying, you know, your neighbor behind you or across the street wants to put on a deck, and I have a right to express an opinion on that.
Right, right.
I've never thought of, you know, like, okay, if Julie wants to put up a pool, you know, maybe she'll invite me over for a swim occasionally, you know.
Right,
but
right.
I see how some people don't have my attitude about it.
Right. I'm the same way. You know, I kind of let live and let live.
Yeah.
But, you know, but I've always been lucky to get along with my neighbors. Some people, like I say, aren't so lucky. The neighbor's doing things they don't like. They don't like the person themselves. And sometimes it becomes more personal and heated that way.
All right, so how do you get involved and how do you help then?
Well, if somebody calls me and they say that that they believe their neighbor is encroaching on their land, the first thing I always have people do, get a survey. You need to find out. You don't want to go by, you know, what you think is right. You want a professional involved that knows how to mark boundary lines and to tell you exactly where that line is before you go approach your neighbor. I know this can be fairly expensive, but like I say, you want to know for sure what it is. If it's the opposite situation, if someone comes to me and says that their neighbor presented them with a survey saying that they're encroaching, I also recommend they get their own survey because surveyors have different skill levels, just like attorneys and everybody else.
unfortunately.
And you know, they want to see if their survey will agree with that. This might seem like a waste of money, but you don't want to just blindly accept what your neighbor is showing you. Sometimes you can take that survey to a second surveyor. And if the person's reputable, you know, the second surveyor might say, you know what, that's exactly what I would have done. And, you know, they might charge you for that opinion, but,
sure.
But still. So, you know, you have to look at what each surveyor is basing their opinion on and why the line is where they say it is. If the surveys agree, that's your best case scenario. It's a good negotiating point, good starting point to negotiate a solution. Basically, what you want the surveys to show is if you're encroaching on their land, you also want it to show that they're encroaching on your land.
Right.
So you can do some type of an agreement. And I actually, when I bought my second house, the one that's not on your street, I had that same situation. My neighbor and I was encroaching on part of his driveway. He was on encroaching on part of my backyard. So actually, no, the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Sorry. It just gets so confusing because what we've been occupying as the backyard actually belongs to the neighbor. So a little triangle of my backyard and a little triangle of his driveway belongs to the people, the opposite people.
So you're able to trade at least then.
Actually, what happened there, and it was because the people that sold to me were trying to sell it. I knowing these things can be quite problematic,
yeah.
Had them solve it before we bought. So all we did was enter into what's called a cross-access agreement. And basically we say, you're going to stay where you are. I'm going to stay where I am. Neither of us is ever going to file an adverse possession, which I can get to later,
sure.
Case against each other. And we're not going to further encroach on each other's land. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. We all get along, so it's great. And it was all solved before I bought the place.
Yeah.
So,
but like you mentioned earlier, now just change one neighbor in this picture, you know, where you guys move out and maybe, you know, the neighbor doesn't like the next couple as much as you, and then they, you know, the game can change very quickly.
Well, but in that situation, we've set it up so that even if
it goes
people
to the
don't
person.
Get along, yeah,
okay.
But there is one big negative to that whole thing, and it's that you don't actually own that land that you're occupying,
yep.
And you can't legally keep the true owner from occupying it. So I could go stand on the corner of his
right.
driveway all
yeah.
day long, and
yep.
as long as he's not trying to get in or out, he can't yeah. stop me, and vice
true.
Versa with,
yeah.
with my backyard. So it's kind of that doesn't sit well with some people to say that, I don't own
yeah.
my whole backyard. Are you kidding me? But we just ignore the whole thing, you know,
right,
and it's,
yeah,
but it's on file at the Registry of Deeds. So when I go to sell or when they go to sell, the people who buy from us are going to know about it and have to comply with it.
Because like you mentioned earlier, a lot of times people just make assumptions, you know, well, there's a rock wall on that side of the house. That must be where the boundary line is. Why would
right.
else you to put in a rock wall?
Right.
And, you know, you just make assumptions about things until all of a sudden something becomes an issue and you realize, my God, you know, whoever put in that rock wall missed the boundary line by 5 feet.
Right.
So, you know, that rock wall that I thought was my nice rock wall is actually my neighbor's nice rock wall.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know, you can see how easily it can happen. Now, if you come into one of these types of situations, Julie, do you have to go to court over it?
No, you don't have to go to court. One of the things, you know, I try to impress upon people, you still have to live there at the end of the day, okay? You can lawyer up and do everything you want and try to get your way. But at the end of the day, you have to look at this person, you know, unless you're going to be selling the place and then
yeah.
you're going to
yeah.
be selling them a nasty situation. So you want to try to keep it out of court. And I know that doesn't sound like a lawyer thing to say, but you want to try to keep it out of court as much as possible.
Yeah.
Another way, if you don't want to do the cross-access agreement, if you're the type of person that it doesn't sit well to have the other person actually own part of your property and vice versa, what you could do is do a sale of the occupied parcels. The big positive there is that you'll actually own what,
yep.
what you do own. If it's just a one piece of land that's being sold, like if there's only one encroachment, then you usually money exchanges hands. If it's two, then it's basically you just state in the deed that it's for good and valuable consideration, which means that, you know, I sold you my land, you sold me yours. So that can be a good solution, and it sounds like an ideal solution. However, a lot of times you get into the zoning situation there. You're creating new lot lines. You have to go to the planning board usually to get what's called an A&R plan, approval not required. You have to have the town sign off on that. Usually I found that the town is pretty happy to do so, you know, with a couple of concessions usually. But they want to see neighbors get along just like anyone else. They
sure.
don't want complaints and things like that. So, you know, they kind of look at things. But one or both of those lots might be rendered what's called non-conforming with the zoning bylaw. It might have insufficient frontage all of a sudden or insufficient area so that, you know, yeah, I'd love to help my neighbor out. I'd love to solve this problem out of court, but now I'm going to be in violation of the zoning bylaw. So now you need to go to the zoning board and get relief, either special permit variances, both, whatever's in your town bylaw. And a third thing is, come back to the mortgages again. If there's a mortgage on one or both of those properties, you have to get sign-off before you go and sell any of it. If you read your mortgage carefully, yeah. No, nobody does.
Yeah, I said nobody does, Julie.
One of the things in your mortgage is going to say that you cannot sell any part of this property without our sign-off.
Well, especially you start talking non-conforming lots. I mean, that's a big deal.
Right, right. So, you know, so that might not be the best scenario. You know, you might want to fall back on, okay, I know I don't actually own this, but it's okay with me. But if one of those two things don't work out, usually I see that it does have to go to court.
What happens then?
So when you go to court, basically, if you are the person that's encroaching on the other person's land, you may have an action for what's called adverse possession. If you bring an action, if they are encroaching on your land, you bring a trespass action. And I find that if you bring a trespass or an adverse possession, you get hit with the opposite one of those from your neighbor. But what happens in trespass is just like it says, you know, you own this property, but they are encroaching on it and you want them off. You're asking the court to please, you know, issue an order that they have to remove their wall, their fence, whatever it is. Even sometimes it's pavement, you know, whatever it is, they have to remove it because it doesn't belong there. For adverse possession, that means that for 20 years you've satisfied all these elements so that you didn't originally, or your predecessor's entitled didn't originally own it, but after these 20 years of satisfying all these elements, you now can show that you own it, and then you get the court to issue a decree saying you own it, and then you get that filed at the Registry of Deeds.
So, like you said, in your situation when my neighbor puts up a fence and I know it's on my land, it's in my best interest to talk about it now rather than saying, you know, well, you know, he didn't mean anything by it. We're fine. He lives there 20 years. You end up moving in and we have a falling out. And the first thing to do is say, hey, your fence is on my land.
Well, that gets into all the elements of adverse possession. And one of the elements is hostile. That yep. doesn't mean that you have to go over there with a shotgun. Mm. It means that you are occupying the person's property, which is hostile to their title. Adverse to their title. It all means the same thing. Basically, you never got permission.
Yeah.
So if you are the true owner, you know, sometimes I say to a person, if you don't mind the fence being there, you might actually give them permission, because then it doesn't matter how long they're there. They're never going to get adverse possession over that. They can try, but they won't be able to satisfy that element of being non-permissive.
Yeah, no, because I didn't know if it gets grandfathered after so long where you're like, well, you knew the fence has been there for 20 years. You did nothing about it. At what point in time does it just become acceptable? Does it ever happen that way?
Right. Well, acceptable it means two different things. If it's just acceptable that everybody doesn't mind and whatnot, but they never gave permission,
right?
And then the person, whoever buys it or whatever, or all of a sudden wake up one day and they say they want to actually own it, they do have to file the action in land court or superior court in order to get the court to decree that it's in their title. It doesn't just automatically happen.
Doesn't automatically, okay.
Right, you go and you show the elements and...
So then what type of cases do you file in court then, Julie?
Either trespass or adverse possession, and I'll bring it in land court or superior court. I find that they both have jurisdiction, but I find I'm one more to bring it in land court. They have the land use expertise there. When you go in superior court, you could have a judge that has any number of areas of law. They could be an ex-prosecutor or whatever. They could have been a bankruptcy attorney, whatever it is. You don't necessarily have somebody with land use expertise.
I probably want the land use expertise, to be honest.
In most cases, you do. But in land court, a couple of negatives bringing it there, you only get a bench trial, which means only the judge decides. You don't get a jury trial. So if you have things that you want to bring before a jury to show how egregious somebody's conduct was, for example, you want to bring in superior court. Also, the land court has jurisdiction over things that involve title to the land. So if it's a bad situation where somebody's harassing you and things like that, you really want to bring that in superior court. You know, they have the ability to handle situations with various things like that. where a land court doesn't have that jurisdiction.
I'm feeling really appreciative of all my good neighbors right about now, to be honest, Julie.
Yeah.
That's for sure and stuff. So you mentioned adverse possession a little bit earlier. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, the five elements you have to show is actual, continuous, hostile, exclusive, open, and notorious. Basically what those mean are actual, you have to show how you've occupied the land. If you have a fence or a wall, things like that, that's really what you want to show because it's more concrete, it's more, you know, so to speak, but it's more it's easier to show how you've occupied and where you've occupied to. Some people think, okay, if I've just mowed this 1 foot strip for all these years, that's a little fuzzier. You know, it gets into more facts and it's you know, what the judge wants to do with it. Continuous, they have to do it for 20 years continuous. It can't be interrupted at all. At no time could have the true owner given permission. Again, hostile, I talked about that earlier. Exclusive, you have to show that you did not share this with anyone else. You didn't say, you know, the neighbor used it, you used it, whatever. It was just you and your guests, you know, your family and things like that, yeah. Your invited people. And open and notorious, you did it without hiding it from anyone. You didn't try to occupy it in secret. A lot of these issues come down to what type of land it is. If you have just a regular homeowner situation and the fence was there, it's, you know, you used it for any purpose that you'd use your home, your land. Sometimes if it's wild land, it's a little bit harder to show that you've actually possessed it, but it all depends on the nature of it.
It was interesting, Julie. A while ago, we were thinking about potentially selling the house. We were looking at a house in town. And the way it was set up, it was probably five or six houses together. And the backyard was almost like a shared backyard. Everyone had their own, but there was no fences. And, you know, I'm like, wow, this is, you know, where's the boundary lines? And the realtor's like, oh, you know, everyone just uses everyone's yard. And that's when I went home, needless to say. Because
right.
I'm like, you know, that's kind of scary because, you know, that there was a couple pools back there. It's like, okay, so the kids are running through your yard, my yard.
What if something happens?
Yeah, yeah, you know. I'm like, you know, there was at that point in time, I said, you know, this isn't going to be for me.
I say get a survey.
Yeah, get a survey. We're coming to the end of the segment. How do people get in touch with you, Julie?
Reach me on my website, www.lawofficeofjuliemcneill, McNeill's McNeill.com. My phone number is 978-455-0296.
We appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. Thanks for being my friend.
All right. We are going to take a quick commercial break here on Friends of Kevin Radio. It is 71 degrees outside, cloudy here in the city of Nashua. The sun trying to break through every so often. Quick commercial break and back with the final segment of Friends of Kevin Radio on 1590 WSMN.